السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I want to thank again the Muslim American Society and particularly the Mass Chicago chapter for giving us such a beautiful experience these last few days. Alhamdulillah, the weather has stayed great and more people have come than in the past year when the weather was not so good. And inshallah, you and your families have been enjoying it as my family and I, who traveled from Virginia to attend the conference, are also enjoying it. As Sheikh Ubaidullah addressed the principles, the key principles of what Qadr means in our religion, and I am inshallah going to try to put it more into practice and into action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this ni'mah, this blessing of our religion. And now you and I have to develop the most accurate understanding of the core beliefs, the core values of our faith. For no other reason than that we need it to be able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But another reason is that we're living in a society where the majority do not follow Islam. So we have the difficult task of practicing Islam and then transmitting that faith to our children and then making dua that indeed their children will be able to maintain the same authentic and accurate understanding of our faith. One of those beliefs is this belief in Qadr. And if you look around in societies, Muslim communities around the world, of all things that seem to have been misunderstood, it is this one. It seems, and I look at books of management, psychology, and other textbooks, when they discuss Muslims, and it gets to the point about this belief in Qadr, it is mistranslated because they look at our actions and they assume that must be what it means. That these Muslims, they will do absolutely nothing for themselves because they have this belief in Qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge, so why should I put forward any effort in anything? Just leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We of course acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge, that He is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, that indeed He is the best of planners. We know all of these things. But somehow, somewhere, when you look at the condition of the individual Muslim, when you look at the condition of the individual family, when you look at the condition of society, and then extend that out to our nations around the world, you start to realize something is not right. Something has to change, and you and I will have to be those living in America especially, and even Canada, because we have the freedom to be able to put into practice all of our teachings to the best of our ability without alhamdulillah, 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 any kind of crackdown on us. Young sisters who are practicing Islam, wearing the hijab, are now rising to achieve whatever aspirations they have. And there is not a government or a law that is attempting to hold them back. Of course, there's discrimination, but there are Muslim countries that we know of where our young women could not be able to achieve their aspirations because not only by law sometimes they are restricted, but by culture they are held back. Our young brothers, boys, the same way. They're able to achieve all of their aspirations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing for that to happen, and we have to be able to make the most of it. Submission to the will of Allah, this idea that Islam itself is, of course, the epitome of submission, but submitting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, that enter into this submission, this state of submission, wholeheartedly. in a common way, to say almost in a full-time way, not in a selective part-time manner. Inherent in that submission is the idea that I am fully, fully convinced that the one who created me, Al-Khaliq, the one who knows my innermost thoughts, the one who even understands and has given me the latitude of emotions, the one who allowed me to be able, if I so choose, to disobey him, that merciful Lord, that generous Lord, that Lord of all of the worlds, who sent us the example of the Prophet, peace be upon him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as a mercy to all of creation, that Lord has decreed that I have that free will, that I have the ability, if I so choose, to disobey. But what is better for me, what is better for my family, what is better for society and for the entire world, is to unconditionally submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not to stop trying to improve. It is not to give up and say, if he already decided that I'm going to be such and such personality, what need do I have to improve or to do better? So we begin by keeping our intentions clear. All of the books of hadith begin with that. Innama al-amalu bin-niyat is basically to say that you have this amazing faculty of reason. So go and make your intention clear. Make it only for the sake of Allah. Make it sincere. Be sincere in whatever you do. And what are we fighting? Ultimately, we're fighting ourselves, our souls, the nafs. This nafs that's talked about in the Quran. We want to achieve the highest state, which is in Surah Al-Fajr. This nafs al-mutma'inna, this nafs that, as Imam al-Ghazali said, the one that surrenders itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately knowing that our desire is to be well-pleasing to Allah, and knowing that inshallah, Allah will be pleased with us. So what are we fighting? We're fighting the waswasa. We're fighting the waswasa, the whispers of the jinn and of the people. We think that, and we know that Allah is in charge. We want to set our plan. We want to do the best that we can. Who holds us back? Sometimes it's our own thoughts, which in psychology and in social work, when they talk about cognitive behavior therapy, this idea that if I can help the person to start to deconstruct, to disentangle all of these confusing thoughts, things that are holding them back, if I can affect them at the thought level, then I can start to affect their behavior. If I can get them thinking in a positive way, to utter positive statements, I love Allah, I love the Messenger of Allah, I love that I woke up this morning and I was breathing, I love that I am married, I love that I have children, I love that, alhamdulillah, that I'm able to do what I want to do. Those positive statements start to impact my behavior, because if I'm coming from a place of love, if I'm coming from a place of submission to the one who loves me, then I want nothing more than to run to him, hoping that he'll be pleased with me. Believe it or not, there are words that reflect our thoughts. And so it's amazing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say words that are light on the tongue, he said. Light on the tongue, but heavy in the scales. So when you glorify Allah because you're taken aback, how could it be that the sun does not delay its rising even by a nanosecond? How is that possible? So when we look at that, we say, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately Allahu Akbar. He, Allah, is the greatest, the greatest. And we repeat it, and we repeat this, and we recite this. And our children who are born, ultimately, unless the guardian male forgot it, they are receiving these words in their right and left ear by the adhan and the iqama, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. So no matter what I think I can achieve, even in this materialistic world, if I'm set in a way that makes me think that I'm self-sufficient, I have such and such degree, I studied hard, I had a fellowship, I had this and I had that, why do I need God? Why do I need Allah? And this, by the way, is the greatest of our projects in this century, is for us to be able to remind ourselves and everyone around us, you can continue on the path that denies Allah, or you can accept the fact that Allah is there and He is in charge, and then make dua for a much better quality of life for everyone around us. So if you think about what Allah has in store for us, what are the practical things that we should be talking about? First and foremost, it is very natural. It is natural to feel happy, to feel sad, to feel anxiety, to feel grief. All of these are natural, to feel fear. All of these are natural. Why? Because the one who created us, endowed us with these emotions as an outlet, as a release. It is not being ungrateful to Allah to show some of these emotions in balance and in check. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, lost his son Ibrahim, and tears rolled down his eyes at the burial, the companions were startled. This is ajeeb, this is strange. What is this, Ya Rasulullah? And he said something beautiful that captures this idea of qadr. He said that indeed, the heart does grieve. By virtue of us grieving and being able to grieve, we are human beings. The vulnerability that allows you to say, I am so sad that my family is having issues. I'm so grieved at the fact that the husband and wife are having trouble, or the children and parents are having trouble. These are normal emotions. But he said that the tongue never says something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is then to question the qadr, which is then to say, why me, why us? But in that is selfishness. Because if you say, why me, then are you saying it should have been someone else? No. All of us will be tested by Allah in exactly the measure that He has willed for us. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah had said that when Allah tests you, it is never to destroy you. When Allah tests you, it is never to destroy you. When He removes something in your possession, when He removes something in your possession, it is only to empty your hands. It is only to empty your hands for an even greater gift. How many of us have that level of belief in qadr to know that whatever came to me was from Allah, and whatever is leaving me is going back to Allah. It is according to His will. Extreme states of these emotions is the problem. When you begin to go off compass, off the center, extreme states of sadness and anxiety and grief and fear, this idea of all of these phobias, if you will, that's when salah, siyam, fasting and prayer, they have to be more regular, because I'm sensing that something is not right. Adhkar, constant reminders that Allah is in charge. It's going to get better. With every difficulty, there is ease. With every difficulty, there is ease. That's the inside talking to ourselves. Shut out the negative people in our lives. Push them away, those who say, you can do this on your own. No, I can put forward my effort, but ultimately Allah will decide the outcome. Brothers and sisters, if salah and siyam, the fasting and the adhkar, are not helping, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us the rukhsa, the ability to seek out people who are professionals. You don't give up the salah, you don't give up the fasting, the voluntary fasting, and even sadaqah as a burhan, as a proof, but you also can get help. You can also go to people who are trained and professionals to get help. The second major point they wanted us to address: how do we keep ourselves in check? How do we keep that ego, that nafs, in check? How do we prevent ourselves from becoming arrogant to the degree that sometimes we turn and we say, I did this, I did this? No, it is impossible for a Muslim in whose heart exists the love of Allah, the acknowledgement of all of His power, all of His power, when we say the phrase, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, we are saying, as Ubadah narrated, Ibn Samit narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even in my sleep when I turn over, something worries me, alayhi salatu wasalam said, the one who remembers to say that no strength and no power exists or comes into being except that it is from Allah, nothing can overtake me except what Allah has written. That arrogant nature is being bred around us because humanity has become completely infatuated, obsessed with control. We want to control everything. We think we can even control nature. We think we can even control nature. And all of the signs of global warming are telling us that we have gone so far off the path. We have hurt the environment in such a terrible way, pursuing that arrogant, that egotistic, that self-obsessed attitude of, it is for me, I must have it. And when must I have it? I must have it now, at any expense, at any cost. Even this idea of the microwave to just speed up the pace at which food is being warmed up, and the molecular structure of water and of those chemicals that's being completely, completely devastated, and then we consume that, and then you wonder where a lot of these diseases that were never known to humanity are coming from. Why? Because I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. I have somewhere to be. I have to get there. I have to get there on time. And so if it means that I cut corners, if it means that I cut short, it doesn't matter because I am in charge. That level of arrogance is unparalleled in history. It is now showing up in our children, in the youngest of the young, who want everything instantly because they think they are in charge of us. And my wife and I are raising four of them, so we know exactly what that's like. They think they're in charge of us because they developed that from an early age, watching everybody around them. And we have to create moments of humility. And there is no more humble of a moment for one who believes in Qadr than when they lower their head in prostration in sujood. In sujood, knowing that they have all the degrees, all the wealth, everything is there, but their heart is not at peace. Their heart is not at peace. And yet when they prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they literally are saying, this arrogant heart of mine, this nafs, this thing that caused me to completely abandon the fact that the belief that you are in charge, that with you everything happens, and that you may give me something that I think is bad, but ultimately the Quran says, in it is khair, in it is goodness, and that which I think is good, in it is shar, is evil, it's bad, it's not good for me. And the last major point as we close is accountability after death. One of the most amazing things that's happened over the last century is that somehow people have thought that I will even alter that process of accountability after death, because I will make sure that I am not resurrected in the way that Allah created me. so I'll be cremated. The one by whose power those bones become ashes is the same one who will cause those ashes to reform back in the exact same proportion, in the exact same mold. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Teen, that best of molds, Allah will recreate us. We will have to stand up and we'll have to be held accountable. So belief in Qadr starts to help us realize that indeed, if I actually submit to the will of Allah, if I find myself swerving, being tempted by my environment, being tempted by those around me, thinking that the joys of this world are my ultimate goal, then remember that there is an akhirah. Remember that the akhirah is better for us than the present, as so many verses of the Quran tell us. That indeed, not even the exact second of my death, nor the exact spot in which I will take my last breath can be in my control. Can be in my control. No soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ That even the nafs that seems to know that it think that it's in charge and in control of its environment and its control of its destiny, even that soul does not know in which earth or which part of the earth it will take its last breath. Brothers and sisters, these conventions, these conferences are amazing gatherings for you and I to see each other, to greet each other, to spend time in the bazaar, to enjoy the time during lectures, between lectures, to reunite with family and friends. But if we keep coming back year after year after year, and nothing is actually changing in our belief system, nothing is actually changing in the understanding of that system, in the practice of those beliefs, then we're just literally spending all that money, all that energy, just basically to watch TV. Just no change is going to come. So what can we do differently? There we come to the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, through us being alive right now in America, that He has already willed thousands and thousands of years ago what would happen. But the beauty, the elation, the sense of joy, the sense of tremendous appreciation to figure out what is the path that Allah has willed for me. What is the path that Allah has willed for me? You know, the closest I can compare it to is that GPS. The GPS that we use, when somehow the connection is bad and the waves are not coming through and it just keeps buffering and it can't come up with the route, and we're stressed because we're late, we're stressed because we're in a new area, we're not sure where we're gonna go, we're not sure if the next exit is our exit, we're not sure if we'll reach there on time, and it just keeps circling and circling and circling. That's what I think our state of ghafla feels like. But think of that tremendous joy, that relief we get when it suddenly stops buffering and then it says, calculating route. And then suddenly we say, Alhamdulillah, I know exactly where we're headed. I know exactly when we're gonna get there. I know the roads we need to take. I know the roads we need to avoid because of traffic. All of that has already been done for us. This book, the Quran, this sunnah and the seerah are already there for us. Can we stop buffering? Can we start actually practicing? Can we start actually loving Allah and His Messenger? And then saying, oh Allah, I've done everything that you possibly asked of me, which I think we're falling short, but I've done everything you've asked of me, and now I surrender to your will because I know the outcome is the best because you are the best of planners. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.